Morning, friends. My interim leader role is kind of also dub it my senior pastor appreciation training program. So I just get to appreciate stuff that you can't appreciate until you're in the seat. And one of those challenges is Sunday morning services. And until Chris finished, it was like that's her department. So she has to really make the decisions on what happens, what people experience on a Sunday morning largely. And I could give her all my opinions and suggestions and she could take them or leave them. But you can only do a Sunday morning once in one particular way. And it's that challenge of what's the best way to do it? How long do you have for worship? How much information do you communicate? How much time do you spend stewarding testimonies and what sort of message and what sort of response and all that sort of stuff? So just really ask you for the grace of Sunday mornings just to come along and just be willing to give and to receive in the way that God leads us to. I don't dictate everything that happens on Sunday morning, and that we have people gifted in worship that have free rein to do what they do in that space. But yeah, just encourage you, Sunday mornings, come along and just be flexible, that no one church service is going to satisfy everybody's perfect church, to be everybody's perfect church service. But just to be trusting that God will use whatever we do. And particularly today is a little bit different again. It's felt God encouraging this to be a little bit more interactive than usual. And, yeah, I was just really encouraged with Brian just sharing before the service, just saying participate. Yeah, just that willingness to participate in what God is doing. So today could be a tangible opportunity for that. For anybody who is new, yeah, we've been flowing on from a message I gave a little while back on, you know, if you really want to live, if you really love to live like Jesus, then one of the most important things we need to do is to love in order to live like Jesus. And when Jesus was asked what is the most important ways to live, what's the most important things to do, he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. And the second is this, to love your neighbour as yourself. And so last week we looked at loving God and began to explore that, which is a huge topic. Today is another big one, which is around the loving yourself, because you really can't fully love other people the way God wants you to unless you love yourself well. And so we want to kind of look at that today and shift our focus on how might God want us to love ourselves. I don't know if you've ever thought that, about that question, but I'll get you to do that now. So again, the invitation to participate, if I could invite you to pair up with somebody, ideally, don't feel obliged to if you want to just sit there and process it yourself, but it's going to be way more fun if you've got somebody that you can bounce some thoughts off. So can you just look sideways and see if there's somebody who's willing to give you a nod, lock in a partnership. If anybody's... No one stands alone. So just while I get myself set up, if you can just discuss just for a minute, how do you think God wants people to love themselves? Or how does God want you to love yourself? What could that look like? Please discuss. I might just grab a few responses to that question. People avoiding eye contact. Helen, what do you think God would want us to be doing if we were loving ourselves?
For me, it's just being me. Not trying to be somebody else and look like someone else, do what they do. It's just be me. And he's happy with that.
Beautiful. About for you, Di, loving yourself?
Well, I just believe that God loves me so much that I should just accept that love and that he'll deal with all the weaknesses and the messes that I make, and he'll help me to sort that all out.
How about for you, Cheryl? Loving yourself, what could that look like?
I think God wants us to look after our body and our mind and our soul. Yeah, to look after all of that. That's how that's how I love myself. I try and look after my body by exercise, eating right. I look after my mind by doing crosswords so I don't get dementia. And I look after myself spiritually by prayer and reading God's word and being with people, other people that love God on a Sunday or wherever.
Beautiful. Thank you. Get one more on this side. Jennifer.
I like what Di said about accepting what God and the way that he loves us teaches us how to love ourselves. But I also think saying no is loving ourselves. So saying no, like turning my mobile phone off so I can have some time to me. Saying no to food, to fast before the Lord. So it's that disciplining as well. Yeah, there's lots that we can do to love ourselves. Yeah.
Thank you. So this is, again, a massive question. And I think that one of the key things is that the way that the world tells people to love themselves is starkly different to the way that God invites us to love ourselves. And I think, you know, the difference between the way the world encourages people to love themselves, the prevailing culture around us indicates that the main goal in life is happiness. So whatever makes you happy, do that to love yourselves. Whatever pleasure means to you, do that at whatever cost as your highest of priorities. And, you know, the encouragement or warning that Paul gave in the letter to Timothy about what the prevailing culture will look like in the end days, and people will be lovers of self in all the wrong ways, narcissistic, self-focused, lovers of money, devoid of natural human affection, devoid of self-control, reckless, conceited, lovers of sensual pleasure rather than lovers of God. So obviously we don't want to love ourselves in the ways of the world, and we want to do it in the way that God wants us to love too. And I guess just before we talk about what that might look like, why is it important to God for us to love ourselves? And there's lots of answers to that, but just a few thoughts, you know, again, that God wants us to love ourselves because he loves us so much and he values us, and we're the most important thing on the planet to him. He created us in his very likeness, in his image, and he wants to continue for us to love ourselves so that we can become more and more like him. And again, if we're loving ourselves well, it's going to be a whole lot easier to show his love through us to others. And he just wants us to have the best life possible. He wants us to live life to the full. It's why Jesus came. It's why he died for us, why he died as us in our place, why he rose from the dead, so that we can have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Amen?
Amen.
And how does God want us to love ourselves? Again, we're going to look at this a bit more practically, but yeah, through caring for ourselves, taking care of ourselves inside and out, through growing ourselves. Loving ourselves means, you know, living the purposes of God, what God created us to do, developing our giftings, living out the purpose that he made us for. And he wants us to love ourselves in community. It's not something we can do by ourselves. And that's why he gives us family. That's why he gives us community. So the thing I felt God saying, how does he want us to help us to know what loving ourselves look like? And that is through his loving conviction. Loving conviction. Now, conviction can sound like a dirty word. It's not. We hear about conviction in terms of a court case and someone's convicted of something wrong, but conviction is actually a beautiful thing. And in the Collins Dictionary, it simply states that conviction is the state of being convinced as to the truth or a belief. It's the state of being convinced as to the truth or a belief. It's just conviction is something that lines up against a truth. And so it's both a challenging thing if something's not right, that we are convicted by it because it doesn't line up with the truth. And we're also convicted if something is right, that it does line up with the truth. So conviction is not just seeing what's wrong, but it's also seeing what is right. Does that make some sense? So just a few other thoughts around conviction. Conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit, whereas where a person is able to see themselves as God sees them. And the personal convictions, again, it's aligned to the truth of God's word. Personal convictions are based upon scriptural truth and applied to an individual believer's life. Personal convictions provide boundaries for an individual to live the godly life. And conviction can sometimes sound like condemnation if it's a judgment against something that's not right. But the difference between conviction and condemnation, they are polar opposites. Because conviction is loving and it's something that draws us towards God and understands our need for God, whereas condemnation is based in shame and pushes ourselves away from God. So conviction, something that draws us to God. Condemnation pushes us away from God. And Satan, in the book of Revelations, is called the accuser of the brethren because he speaks to us and whispers in our ear, you're not good enough, you're a failure, you're doing things wrong, you're not doing enough things right. He condemns us with those thoughts. Whereas Romans 8, after talking 7 chapters about the grace of God, the incredible grace of God, because of the grace of God, there is no condemnation to anyone who belongs in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is simply illegal for anyone who belongs to Jesus. So if you're feeling condemned, rebuke it because it's not of Jesus. God didn't send Jesus into the world to judge and condemn the world, but he sent him so that the world might be saved through him. So what does loving conviction look like? Loving conviction, I felt God say, it's like a mirror. A mirror is a beautiful thing that helps us see the real us. We can't kind of see ourselves without a mirror, really, can we? And I believe there's at least a few different ways that God uses loving conviction in our lives. The first one is God's Spirit. As Corinthians 2 tells us, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty, there's freedom. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit loves to speak to us. He wants to speak to everybody. One of the most important things we can do is learn to hear the voice of the Spirit, which does sound like our own accent, our own words. The other way we can experience God's loving is conviction is through his word. Reading the Bible just helps us, again, align ourselves with the truth of God, who he is, who we are, and how life is meant to work in his kingdom. All scripture is inspired by God, useful to teach us what's true, help us to realise what's wrong. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what's right. God uses his word to prepare his people for all the good works he has in store for us. And the other gift that he gives us to help us in loving conviction is his people. God particularly uses the people, his people that he places around us, and particularly to help us to see our blind spots. People are so helpful if we're willing to allow God to speak through them to bring out the best in us, and to see what God's doing and just to help us in our walk with him. So God invites us to love ourselves as he convicts us, but it's not just about, okay, God, show me what's going on. What are you encouraging me in? What are you wanting to correct me in? But there's also that the response to conviction needs to be repentance. So repentance, one description of it, you know, is to turn around 180 degrees. Another description that I love that Chris uses is repentance is like the pent in penthouse. It's a higher level thing. So repentance is changing the way we think to a higher level, to see things the way that God sees them. Conviction of sin is God's way of inviting you to restore fellowship with him. Conviction is not repentance. Conviction leads to repentance, but you can be convicted without repenting. So repentance is that changing the way we think about ourselves, about God, and about life. And it's so important, that beautiful verse, that it's God's kindness that is used to change the way we think, to lead us to repentance, to change our, in ourselves, our old way of thinking, and to seek his purpose for our life. So both conviction and repentance are both loving gifts that God gives us to enjoy all that he created us to be. So I just wanted to give you a taste of God's loving conviction, again, to both help align what he is telling you that is right and what he's telling you that could be a correction in our lives. So what I want to do is just go through, as Cheryl mentioned, you know, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. So I just want to really quickly look at those four areas. And what it's going to look like is just, there's going to be three questions around each of those areas. And I just want you to ponder the Word of God that's referred to in each of these questions. So these are questions that I just asked myself. So I went, God, what if I'm loving myself and I want to hear from you what the truth is about me and or how I can live my life to the full in total freedom, what's some questions that are healthy for me to ask you? So I'm just inviting you to join me in asking God. Is that okay? All right, so you paired up with someone, just going to invite you to go three questions for each of these areas. Just going to read through the Bible verse, or allow you to read through the Bible verse. Just pause for 30 seconds to allow God to speak to you at the end of these three questions. If there's something that he just wants to encourage you in, what he loves about the way that you love your heart or love your soul. And if there's one area that he's encouraging you to grow in that area. Is that okay? Can't say no, can you? Excellent. This is could be a bit challenging. I just really want it to be joyful. I really want you to enjoy this, to lean into it. And it's more about just learning a practice of just allowing God to speak to you. What sort of questions are helpful you to be asking yourself? What questions are you helpful to be asking other people? Or what questions are we asking as we read through the Bible? So we're going to move through these fairly quickly. So we're going to start with loving yourself in terms of love your heart. How do you love your heart? So my first question is related to allowing my heart to be transformed, because that's what God wants for all of us, to be continually transformed more and more into his glorious image. That's what the Spirit of the Lord is there for, to give us freedom in all aspects of life. So the first question is, God, how can I allow you more access to my heart so that I can be transformed to be more like Jesus? The second question is about how engaged am I in the community that God places around me, and how willing am I, how vulnerable am I to share my heart? Because God places people around us to grow us, to love us, for us to love. It's such a gift for us to be the full person that he created us to be. And the third one is just a heart connection with God throughout the day. Not just how can I pray in the morning or once a day or occasionally, but how can I prayerfully communicate with Jesus from my heart all through my day? And we're encouraged to always be rejoicing and be unceasing and persistent in prayer in every situation, no matter what the circumstances. So I'll just put those three questions up and just give you 30 seconds just to ask God, Father, what's one thing in this area of loving my heart that pleases you? And is there an area in loving my heart that you would like me to grow in? So we'll just give you 30 seconds just to listen to the Lord. Just encourage you, it's often the first thought that comes to your mind, and it's going to sound like your voice, your accent. So just lean in, Father. Okay, so I'll just give you 2 minutes with your partner. If you can just quickly share anything that came to mind. No pressure. You don't have to share, and you don't have to share anything you don't feel comfortable with. But if there's something that God, or something that's going through your mind as you think about these questions, or something that God appreciates that you're doing well in this area, and is there something that God encourages you to grow in this area? Okay. We can just move through these. So just this next area is around loving your mind. So the questions I just felt God challenged me to ask him is, what can I feed my mind on? How can I feed my mind to grow in my understanding and my relationship with Jesus? How do I keep on growing in knowledge and understanding what really matters, so that I may live a life that's pure and blameless until the day of Christ's return? The second question, again, these are just examples of types of questions that we can ask ourselves or ask God. How can I focus my mind more on the positive things in life rather than focusing on the negative? Such a beautiful encouragement in Philippians. Whatever is true, whatever is honourable, worthy of respect, whatever is right, confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there's anything excellence, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Doesn't sound like listening to the news, does it? The third question is about, what am I doing to still myself? You know, Jesus often took himself out into the quiet places and connected with God. And a beautiful passage, verse in Isaiah, in returning to me and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confident trust is your strength. So out of that, how can I care for my mind through quiet, through silence, through meditation, through intentional peace and quiet? So again, just whether it be these three questions or something else to do with loving your mind, I just want to invite you, again, just on loving your mind, if you can just share, what's one thing that you feel God saying that he loves the way that you love your mind, and what's one area that you could grow in? Just give you a couple of minutes to talk around that. Thank you. Thanks for leaning into this. Just before we move on to loving our soul, I just want to show a two and a half minute clip from the series that we used last term in Connect Groups from John Mark Comer, just talking about how important spiritual emotional health is to us. Thanks, Aaron.
I would argue one of many reasons it's central. Jesus said the greatest commandment in all of the library of scripture in the universe is, in one word, to love. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In my experience, and this could just be my personality, I'm introverted, I'm a bit high-strung, this could just be me, I don't think it is, but vet this. 80% of loving well is just being emotionally healthy and spiritually awake. In my experience, again, most of you don't have children yet, I have three, chaos monster, and fantastic chaos monster. If I get up tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. and I fast and I pray and I speak in tongues naked on the roof asking God for a revival and I pray the examine and I read all the way to Leviticus and I memorize scripture and I do all the stuff, all the Jesus stuff, and then I walk out of my little home study and there's Moses with our new dog. We have a dog. And he's just walking in after the morning walk and dragging mud into our house. And I just instantly go ballistic. Like it's like 3 hours of Jesus and all of a sudden I'm just Satan. Like just, how could you? How many times do I have to tell you? The poor kid's 10, right? And it's like mud, it's organ, right? Hence dog, whole other thing. But when I'm rested, you catch me at the end of the Sabbath after just plenty of sleep, plenty of time in the quiet, which I need a lot of, time to just recenter, pray and journal and hear from God and get his vantage point on my life at this moment, time with my family, with my friends, soul connection with my wife,
time one-on-one with my children. Just, you catch me then, I'm at my best self. And honestly, loving is pretty easy. Not that like I kill it, but I'm pretty good at it. When I'm rested. When I'm not rested, it doesn't matter how much I pray, how many times I read through the Bible in a year. I only do it 5 or 6 times most year, but whatever it is, it doesn't matter how much scripture I memorize, how many Bible studies I go to, how much I podcast, how often I'm at church 3 times every single week, right? Take that. Doesn't matter. My point is, emotional health matters not just because we're happier, but because we're more loving. We're more joyful, and we're more at peace with God.
So true. 80% of loving well is being emotionally healthy and spiritually awake. So speaking of which, loving your soul. So a few questions around our soul, which is our free will, our emotions, our inner self. I guess that will, that willingness to do what God asked me to do. You know, we're blessed, we're favored when we fear God, when we obey His word, when we continually observe it, when we do what He asks us to do. So how can I grow in my ability to listen to God and to obey what He asks of me? We all have habits in our life, life-controlling behaviors that aren't helpful, that work against what God wants us to experience in life. But God is keen for us to be free of any of those habits. So what is it that I can do to overcome my unhelpful life-controlling behaviours or habits that don't give me full freedom in life? And, you know, that as we oft quote the saying that our emotions are great servants but terrible masters. So how can I ensure that my emotions serve me well but that I'm not dictated my behaviour, that my anger, my frustration doesn't dictate how I behave? So again, if we can just get those three questions up, Aaron, and just a couple of minutes. Let's just pause now. Sorry, I don't think I paused last time. Just God, just pray that you'll just encourage us. What's one area of loving our soul that you're well pleased with? What's one area of loving our soul that we could grow in? Just speak to us now, we pray in Jesus' name. I'll just give you a couple of minutes to discuss that, any thought, anything that came to mind. Okay, we're into the home straight. One to go. Thanks for participating in this. Loving yourself, loving your body. So the questions I felt God invite me to ask Him is, you know, He wants us to be prosperous in every aspect of life, including our health. So Father, how can I improve my health and physical capacity to handle the challenges of life, to be able to do all that You want me to do and do it well? Again, that the ways of the world are just hectic. It's just so much information and activity and expectations. That beautiful message paraphrase, come to me, get away with me, recover your life. Jesus wants to show us how to take a real rest, to walk with Him and work with Him. Watch how He does it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Keep company with Jesus and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So God, how can I allow You to set the pace and rhythm of my life to help ensure that I'm doing it right and not too busy? And then, yeah, again, another part of our body is what we put in that goes past our taste buds. You know, we're just so dictated by those beautiful adverts, KFC, finger licking good. But what really nourishes my body more than just satisfying my taste buds? So, Father, just in any area, in terms of loving our body well, what's something that You're encouraging us to continue? And is there something that You just want to highlight that will give us more freedom and more enjoyment in loving us, loving our bodies well? Speak to us now. Thanks for participating. Again, something a little bit different, but I just really hoping that it'll just be a tool, just a help to just think about in our times of prayer with God, when our times of conversation with other believers, of what can be helpful to talk about, what questions can be helpful for another person or for you to discuss that just helps you to steward your body well, steward your life well. And you know, sometimes it's God going, you really need to do, but I love Proverbs 3. If you could get that up for us, Aaron. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you. Why? For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. God's loving conviction, when it goes, just receive it, accept it, respond to it. It's not condemnation, it's his love in action. We know it. Sometimes it'll feel uncomfortable and God is often challenging us, but he can only love us. He doesn't have any other way of relating to us. So lean into his loving conviction and correction. So I invite Jim just to close us out this morning. I just want to close with one last verse. And I just thank you for reading lots. I didn't cover all the verses, but just God, help us to love ourselves well so that we can enjoy you, we can enjoy life, and so that we can love others well. And the last passage, just a beautiful one from Philippians 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thanks for participating. I love you guys. I bless you. And just encourage you to be generous with each other over morning tea. Thanks, Jim.